Melachim Aleph Perikei Pasuk Chav Tes. We are wrapping up the discussion of Shlomo's workforce that he is going to get started. And this is only scratching the surface. There's a lot more to come later. But in the meantime, wrapping up Perikei. So, by Yehilu Shlomo, Shivim Elef Nosei Sabol. Shlomo had 70,000 who carried burdens. Rashi says, Lohavi Avane Min Hahar Lo'ir. These were the stone bearers, the porters, who carried the stones from the mountains where wagons could not be brought, eventually brought them down out of the mountains, and then eventually towards wagons, and then back to the city. So the Nosei Sabol are working very hard with slings and whatever other way that they were going to do this. The idea of work on such a massive scale at a pre-industrial society that didn't have giant container ships or bulldozers. They're doing construction on my block right now today, and just to make little tiny pebbles out of the rocks, they've got a giant bulldozer that does all the work. If you're a Nosei Sabol, everything's being done by hand. Ushmonim Elef Chotzei Bahar, and 80,000 who hewed stone, who dug in the mountain. So that's 150,000 men. So who are these 150,000 men? So Rashi says that these were gerim. Gerim gerurim hayu, says Rashi. Chenizgairu machmas gedula shlomo shulchano. So these were converts. This was one of the high points of conversion to Judaism because the Jewish nation was so great and so wealthy and so popular that they converted in kind of self-made way, drawn to Judaism because of prosperity and prestige. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says this on Daf Gimel. But they weren't sincere converts, so they weren't actually Jewish in quite the same way, but rather they were impressed. They were impressed by the riches of Shlomo and his kingdom. They were impressed by the way David came to defend the Givonim, who had been wronged by Shaul. And David actually retaliated against the family of Shaul on their behalf. So Shlomo conscripted many of these gerim, including, according to some, the Gemara and Yevamos, the Givonim themselves, to be laborers. Remember, we said that they were going to carry wood and fetch water. Well, in this case, they're carrying stone. Lamed levad misarei hanitzavim l'Shlomo asher al hamalacha. And that did not even count, in addition to Shlomo's officers, the chief officers who were appointed over the work, shloshes alafim u'shlosh meyos harodim ba'am ha'usim ba'malacha. And that was 3,300 officers who directed the people who were performing the work. So Shlomo has a whole lot of supervisors on top of everything else, each one handling large groups of workers. For every, in some situations, 500 workers, there were 50 officers. So some officers were appointed over tens and over hundreds and over thousands, the same way Klal Yisrael had always done. There's a very extended Rashi about these 3,300 that is based also on a small inconsistency with Divrei HaYamim, which mentions 600 more. So that question is how Rashi then digresses to say these are appointed over this many and these are appointed over this many and they all worked alongside each other. Lamen Aleph Bayitzav HaMelech Vayasiu Avonim Gedolos Avonim Yikaros LeYaseid HaBoyes. And so Shlomo commanded, the king commanded, and they quarried great stones. Avonim Gedolos, great stones. Avonim Yikaros. Now, ordinarily, that could mean precious stones. Some of the Mefarshim say that that means heavy stones, because the stones weren't exactly jewelry or anything. They weren't jewels, but they were these massive, heavy stones. And they were used to make a foundation for the house, for the Beis HaMikdash. Avnei Guzis, hewn stones. Now, the foundation is below the ground. Nobody can see it. Huge stones makes a lot of sense. You want to have big stones. But why do they have to be hewn? Why do they have to be polished? Why do they have to be precious? Why do they have to be fine quality stones? You could use the junk. You could use, you know, the big heavy granite that's got no charm to it whatsoever. But nevertheless, Shlomo showed that even the foundation stones should be done as well and as finely as possible. And the Chazal say there's a tremendous lesson in that, that you should act with a pure heart all the time, even if other people aren't going to see and compliment you for what you do. The foundation should always be solid. If you ever go on the tunnel tours and you go down underneath the Kotel to go see some of those stones, I was bowled over. I went 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and just putting my hand on one of those stones and knowing that these were the great stones that are being described here in Sefer Melachim, being trucked and trundled down from the mountains, and knowing that Shlomo HaMelech himself insisted on them being put in, it's an amazing feeling. And it's an amazing thing to see when you see how enormous these stones are and how deep they are under the ground. And yet, as they mentioned, hewn stones, Avnei Guzis. It's a tremendous opportunity to go. And what's more impressive is if you learn a little bit of Nachan, then you go. It's just, I found it completely overwhelming. I think you would too, God willing. Lamed Beis, last pasuk in Perek Hey, Vayifsalu Bonei Shlomo Uvonei Chirom VaHagivlim, and the builders of Shlomo and the builders of Chirom and the Givlim, who are a separate group from the other two. Gival is a city in northern Lebanon. We saw it in Sefer Yehoshua, where Rashi says they were known as great stonemasons, the Givlim. From a place, Sheshma Gevel or Gevil, and they were Bikiim. They were experts. Also, it's mentioned in Sefer Yechezkel. And so these groups, Vayifsalu, they carved the stones. It very possibly Vayifsalu from the word Pisoles. How do you carve a statue of an elephant? Cut away everything that's not an elephant, as they used to say. Old joke. Not sure if it's a funny ha-ha joke, but it's a comment on vision and on how you do a job. The psoles is all the extra excesses of pieces of stone that you're chipping away. Essentially, when you carve something, you're not creating something new. You're chipping away everything that doesn't fit your vision of what it should look like. And there's tremendous lessons in that. I would be a terrible sculptor. I always, when I do this on cakes and other things, or cookies, I chop away a little too much. And then the animal has only one leg because you chopped off a little too much from the other one. And they prepared the wood and the stones to build the Beis HaMikdash. The wood and the stones, again, maybe it does make sense to think of Sefer Melachim as the preparation for Churban eventually. Because even at this moment of incredible positivity, at this moment of building and constructing of the Beis HaMikdash, there's the phrase Eitzim Va'avonim. When is that phrase most often used by modern Jews who do not have a Beis HaMikdash? Dare I say, wait until Tisha B'Av, and then we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Kinnis, we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was merciful. He didn't wipe all of us out. Rather, he took out his anger on Eitzim Va'avonim, on stones and timbers. So alas, even in this moment of looking forward to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there is an echo, there is a faint sense of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Eitzim and the Avanim that are going to be destroyed when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours out his wrath, alas, rightly so, on a nation that wasn't worthy of keeping a Beis HaMikdash. So that's depressing. So let's go on positively to Perek Vav. Perek Vav is going to be a bit involved. Just so you know, Perek Vav is rough stuff. We made it through Yehoshua and borders and boundaries. We're going to do everything we can to make it through Perek Vav, which is descriptions of different aspects of the Beis HaMikdash that can be very hard to visualize. And we'll talk about that more when we come back. But we can do it. It's only 38 psukim, but it's 38 psukim of very concrete, detailed stuff. And it will be fun to learn inside, because the Nach spends time on this intentionally for us to understand how precious and how amazing and miraculous was the Beis HaMikdash.